This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson again today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you want to contact me, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out, and I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Now, again, we'll take prayer requests. You can re-listen to the program on the website. You can read my weekly meditation on the website. You can give me your mailing address, and I'll send you or put you on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. And also, I publish a weekly meditation, an email meditation, which is on the website. But if you'd like to get it by email, send me your email address, and I'll send that on to you as well. So you might need a pencil and piece of paper to get my regular address and email addresses. Actually, my website address at the close of this program. Now, today we want to move on to Acts chapter 18. We've looked at how that Paul preached to those in Athens, philosophers in Athens, and how that he considered, as people say, the culture as he preached to them and tried to reach them in a way where they would understand the truth. But even though he appealed to their culture, and even though he appealed to their poets, and even though he couldn't appeal to the Old Testament as proof that these things were so, like he could with a Jew, he still preached the same gospel. He preached that Christ was the Messiah, that he had been raised from the dead, that he was going to judge the world, that people needed to repent and trust him in order to be right with God. Now, as he leaves there, we noted last time that some mocked and some believed. And now he's going to go on in Acts chapter 18 down to Corinth. And we're going to read from Acts 18 and verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. Again, he's still in Greece. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So when he gets to Corinth, he not only builds tents during the week, he preaches on the weekend. Now in Acts 18 and verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. It's interesting that John in 1 John chapter 5 says, "He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." For a Gentile, we sometimes wonder what the work of the cross really means, and we have trouble trusting in the fact that a substitutionary sacrifice puts away our sin. But for the Jew, once they understood that this Jesus was the Messiah, it appears that at that point they understood the truth of salvation and they were saved. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." So again, he went to his own people, tried to reach the people that should have been most likely to believe. But he was reaching religious people who had their minds made up and they wouldn't repent and believe the gospel. They opposed him and they blasphemed. Paul stuck with it, though. And so he departed from there and entered into the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. So there was fruit amongst the Jews, and when a ruler of the household of the synagogue believed, likely that had an influence on the rest. And many of the Corinthians, having believed, believed and were baptized. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. No one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now I'm going to take this last phrase first, and then I want to talk a little about what happens in this chapter, because I believe that this is often the way the work of the Lord prospers. He says, I have many people in this city. God says that. Now, does that mean that there were people there that were already saved? Does that mean that there were there people there who really wanted to know God and would respond to the gospel? Were there people there who were Jewish proselytes who were searching for God? I believe that the Lord was saying that when Paul preached, there were people here that were going to respond because he knew there were people there already seeking for the Lord. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. And we have seen as we go through the Acts of the Apostles that when the Ethiopian eunuch sought the Lord in Acts chapter 8, he found him. We see that when Paul was having his conscience pricked and he was seeking the Lord, he found him. We see that when the Roman centurion in Acts 10 was seeking the Lord by trying to be righteous and doing the things Jews did, the Lord found him. And so I think the Lord was looking at people in this city, and I don't think he was saying, I've selected a group of people that have already believed, or that he had selected a people that he was going to cause to believe, but that he knew that there were people here who needed the message because they wanted to believe. And he knew they were going that they would respond to the gospel. They were his people, and from God's standpoint, they were his people before they believed. But from our standpoint, you have to believe before you're part of the elect. God chooses the believer to be his people today, and we have to believe before we're part of that. But God, in his foreknowledge, knows who that will be, and he takes people that he knows are going to respond to the gospel, and he brings things into their path so that they can respond to the gospel and so that they can be reached and saved, and so anyone who seeks does find. And I really think that's what this is saying. It's not that they were already saved, but he knew there were people there that wanted to know the truth, and in that sense he had many people in that city. As we go down through the passage, then we can see that Paul didn't always work like many preachers work today, and even as I work. He was willing to work with his hands in order to support himself, and really we find out at times he was supporting those with him through his tent making. He was willing to do that in order to further the gospel. But while he was doing that, and while he was with Priscilla and Aquila doing that, he didn't give up on the fact that his primary objective was to reach out in the gospel in this area. But I think that the reason that he himself worked in this way was partly to set a good example for others. He says, with regard to the Corinthians, I think when we go to his first epistle, he said that the Lord commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. That's in 1 Corinthians 9. So it was perfectly permissible, if he wanted to live from the wealth of those that he was preaching to. I don't believe that anyone was ever hired to preach the gospel in the New Testament, but as you look at Philippians, you look at Corinthians, you find out that people who realized that Paul was doing a good work would share with him and partner with him in the gospel, and basically what they were doing was giving him gifts so that he didn't have to work. But here he does work. He says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, but I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it were better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For we, and then he goes into 2 Thessalonians, where people were waiting for the Lord to come and weren't working. And he says this, for we did, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but we worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. And again, as he looks at these Thessalonians, he says, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither should he eat. And so, even though throughout the Bible there is an emphasis on helping the poor, there is also an emphasis upon working with your own hands to try to support yourself and to support your family, and then to work with your own hands so that you can help others. There's even places where Paul says they should work with their hands so that they'd have something to share with others. And so Paul was really, in my mind, setting an example here. He may have been in need, and he may have needed to actually work, but in this particular case, I think more than anything else, he was setting an example so that others would see that those who preach the gospel don't just have an easy job where they don't have to worry about the things that maybe their parishioners have to worry about, working a job 7 days a week. I know in my case, I have worked for corporations, I've worked for universities, I've worked for myself, and I've worked for the Lord. And I can honestly tell you that I am busier and I work harder now that I work for the Lord than in any of the other jobs that I've ever done. I've always been of the opinion that even the Lord, even though I do not get hired by anyone to do what I do, people have fellowship with me that want to encourage me in this work. And even though that's the way I do what I do, I have found out that if I don't work, I don't get paid. I don't get paid by the Lord. And so I make it a point every day to do something productive for the Lord. And sometimes I get too much on my schedule, and it's very difficult to even give my family the time that my family deserves. But Paul, even though he knew that those who preach the gospel should and could live of the gospel just as those in the Old Testament who served the temple lived of the temple, he said, we don't have to do it that way if that's going to in any way hinder the gospel of Christ. And that, how much different is that from the attitude of so many today who are making it obvious that they're in the ministry to make a fancy living, and many people are being hired for jobs. It's not a ministry, it's not a work, it's not a labor of love, it's a job. And that was not the case with Paul. And so he made tents and supported himself, and in doing that he was not chargeable to them, even though he had every right to be chargeable to them. And there's nothing wrong with people actually being supported by the ones that they are ministering to. And so as we look at this, we can see then that he was an example to them. And then he did the thing that he always does. He went to his own people first. He began to preach the gospel in the synagogues. And when I think that the synagogues were the places where you might say the Bible was opened, it was the Old Testament, the places of religious learning of that day, I sometimes wonder if we shouldn't go back to putting an emphasis on preaching the gospel in our churches who have Bibles in the pews that are never open today. I wonder if that wouldn't be consistent with the kind of work that Paul did. It's obvious that, obviously, when he would go to the Jews and he would preach about the resurrected Christ and that Jesus was the Christ, normally they didn't believe it, and he ended up having to turn to the Gentiles and preach to them. But Paul faithfully preached no matter where he went, even when he was supporting himself. Now I hope that you've heard the message of the gospel, and that if you've heard it and been blessed by it, that you will ask yourself how you can help those who are preaching it, and how you can support them. And that should be a voluntary thing between you and the Lord alone. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just ask Thee for Thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened to it today. If there are those who are unsaved amongst us, reach them, Lord. Give them a Nicodemus experience where they meet the Lord and trust Him. Now, we ask for these mercies in our Savior's name. Amen. Our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.